If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is the Fixer Sciatica Podcast.
And we're back going through our six-part series talking all things sciatica pain. If you're new to this show, the past three episodes have covered understanding what sciatica is, how to measure progress, and the directional preference model. And so if you missed out on these episodes, the link to those shows will be found in the notes for today. Today we're going to be talking about all things stretching, because when you tell anyone that you have sciatica or back pain, they're often going to tell you to stretch or stretch more often. This brings up a couple questions, as in what stretches specifically should I be doing? Why are these stretches helpful and not other stretches? And ultimately, do these stretches actually work? I'm going to be breaking down what is a stretch, why and how do stretches work, cover the most common stretches for sciatica, and some of the key mistakes that people make when trying to apply a stretch. Ultimately, by the end of this episode, you'll determine if stretching is what you need in your sciatica pain journey. First off, we got to talk about what is a stretch. It is simply taking a muscle or joint to end range and holding it to increase range of motion. We're looking at either increasing the range of motion of a muscle or the joint itself. However, our bodies are functional units, meaning that if you're stretching one, you're going to be stretching the other. Stretching was actually designed to improve range of motion, and most stretches are held between 30 seconds to 2 minutes in length and completed multiple times. Now, how do stretches work? When you're taking a muscle or joint through end range, you're actually pulling on the muscle fibers, and you're going to be ideally separating them. This also stimulates what is called the Golgi tendon organs, also known as the GTOs. And these structures are placed in the tendinous attachment of muscles to the bones to detect a prolonged stretch. And when it gets stimulated, aka stretched, it will actually tell the muscle to relax. Because if it doesn't, it can actually tear and lead to a whole bunch of issues further down the road. And we certainly want to avoid muscle tears. So, in essence, stretching relaxes the muscles and sometimes deactivates a muscle to allow for improved range of motion. Why does a stretch work? This is where things become a little bit more complicated, because oftentimes, when you search sciatica, you're going to be told to stretch out your sciatic nerve, your piriformis, spinal rotation, and your hamstrings. And we're actually going to be covering each stretch later in this episode. But the main reason as to why stretches can work are due to a couple different reasons. Number one, the muscle is tight and pressing on the sciatic nerve itself. Two, the muscle is tight and putting the joint or body part in an awkward or inefficient position, causing it to be pinched. The other hand, a stretch may not work because one, the tight muscle is perceptually tight and not really tight, and the area of stretch is in the wrong area that is causing the sciatica pain. So let's break each component down individually. A muscle is truly tight when the muscle is in a shortened position. Think about the piriformis. The piriformis muscle actually sits right on top of the sciatic nerve, and in some people, the nerve runs right through that muscle. So the piriformis muscle is tight, as in there is little to no rotational ability of the hips, then that tight piriformis muscle can actually put pressure on the sciatic nerve, and a piriformis stretch could be helpful, and we'll talk a little bit more about that stretch itself. A tight muscle can also put the body out of alignment. Take, for example, tightened hip flexors. Usually tight hip flexors are going to result in a super arching motion of the back, aka extension. The hip flexors, specifically the psoas muscle, does not actually cross over the sciatic nerve, but it can place the low back in a position where the nerve can be pinched, specifically at the foramina. So stretching out the hip flexors in this scenario is going to relieve that overarching position and allow the back to be in a more neutral position. We have to answer the question, what is a tight muscle? Now, tightness is actually more of a perception rather than an actual objective measure. A muscle that has limited motion will usually have a capacity below the normal. Now, what does that mean? If you can barely kick your foot out 6 inches in front of your body, then you're most likely dealing with tight hamstrings. Or if you can't cross one leg over the other, you're most likely stiff in hip rotation. This tightness is what I would rather call restricted motion, as in there is limited movement. However, that same tight feeling can occur in muscles that are overstretched or overworked. An example would be just that you feel that perpetual tightness in your hamstrings, but you're able to actually bring your foot over your head, so you're considered flexible, but you don't feel very flexible. The reality is that you don't have tight hamstrings. They may feel tight, but they do not need to be stretched. And lastly, stretches may not work because you're targeting the wrong area. This is one of the problems with treating sciatica like a shotgun approach. One of the first stretches you'll do is a piriformis stretch, but what if that pain isn't caused by the piriformis or your hips? That sciatic nerve has a long pathway through your body, and to think it is always at the level of your hip misses out on a lot of opportunities for improvement. And the same thing goes when it comes to sciatica just originating at your back. We need to be able to look at both. So let's talk about some of the most common sciatica pain stretches, the piriformis or pigeon stretch, the hamstring stretch, and spinal rotations. I'm choosing these three because you're going to see them in most sciatica stretching programs. The piriformis or the piriformis stretch was designed to stretch out the piriformis muscle. This muscle actually acts as a hip stabilizer, prevents the knee from caving in, and actually helps rotate the hip outwards. This is usually one of the first stretches recommended. Now, how can you tell if you actually need the piriformis stretch? If you're unable to cross one leg over the other, if you can't get your shin to parallel to the ground, then yes, you might need the piriformis stretch. This would indicate that the stretch would be helpful for you, and I'm a fan of the figure four stretch on your back versus a straight up pigeon's pose because it's a little too aggressive. Sometimes you'll see people with their foot in the front or on a box, and the reality is I think it's pretty unnecessary. All you need to do is pull your knee up to your chest and cross your shin over the body with the extra pressure from the other knee. You can hold this for about 5 to 10 breaths before releasing, and you're going to be finding a video of this stretch in the show notes. If you find that this stressful stretch is helpful for you, then you should feel immediate relief during and after the stretch. But if you're able to cross your leg over the other, then doing this stretch might not necessarily help you and may perpetuate a dysfunctioning piriformis. And if that's the source of your pain, then we need to look at something else, perhaps strengthening. We're going to talk all about strengthening next week. The second most common stretch is the hamstring stretch. Oftentimes, you're going to lift your leg and say that your hamstrings are tight. The usual normal range of motion is about 70 degrees of your leg moving up with a straight knee. If you're able to get into that position passively, that hamstring stretch is probably not going to be for you. However, if you cannot lift your leg more than 70 degrees and it produces pain, then a hamstring stretch may actually be exactly for you. And you can simply take a towel or a strap, put it around your foot, then you raise your leg as high as you can with a straight knee and hold for 5 to 10 breaths before switching sides. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of this movement. And the reason being is that it's not often that you are in this lengthened position in life. And two, when you're stretching out your hamstrings like this, you're also stretching out the sciatic nerve. And when you hold a muscle stretch, what you also do is compress the blood vessels in that area. And muscles can do okay with less oxygen, but nerves don't really like it that much. And as a result, if you already have an irritated sciatic nerve, then this stretch may not be for you. The alternative is hip hinging and using your hamstrings every time you bend over. And I'm going to show you a video exactly on what a hip hinge looks like in the show notes. The third most common stretch is repeated spinal rotation or spinal twists. Now, I'm not really sure how this stretch became so popular. However, if we go back to last week's episode about directional preference, the spine usually prefers one motion versus all of them, and the pain caused at one level of the back. So doing repeated or sustained spinal twists in both motions without any reasoning or reassessment can be harmful. And I don't recommend this for most of the folks, and as a result, I don't have too many videos on repeated spinal rotation. However, if you're doing these stretches and they are helping you, as in reducing your pain and improving your function, then you don't need to stop. The key to any intervention is to gauge if it is helping you or not. So remember, before doing anything, you need to establish your baseline and then do one activity, whether it be a stretch or an exercise, and then retest to see how you feel. If you don't feel any better, or in fact worse, then it might actually be time to get rid of that stretch or activity. However, if you do it and you are truly feeling better, then you can continue down that route. You don't need to be overwhelmed with pain. In fact, each clue provides us breadcrumbs down the path of pain relief. Next week, we're going to be talking all things strengthening and why that may be helpful for you to improve your pain. If you have any questions in the meantime, reach out to me at info@ifixyoursciatica.com.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got some help from today's podcast. And for more info, check us out at ifixyoursciatica.com. Have a fantastic and pain-free day.
No patient-therapist relationship is formed by listening to this podcast. We are not providing medical advice, and all information should be confirmed by a medical provider.